In writing about America's oldest Civil War veteran, his name was Albert Wolfson, history columnist Kurt Brown got a lead that might have connected him to one of the world's most popular musicians. Oh, man.
Well, the next day I heard from a Bob Dylan expert up in Duluth. And he said, he sent me a little map, and he showed me where Albert Wolfson lived on the hill near downtown Duluth and where Bob Dylan spent his first 6 years. But not only that, he sent me a link to a photo in the Duluth newspaper archives that showed little school children, kindergarten-aged, singing on Albert Wolfson's birthday. It's possible that Bob Dylan, kind of the voice of the 1960s, sang to a Civil War drummer from the 1860s. So sometimes the facts we learn after the fact, you know, are the most fascinating.
Who has been the strangest or most surprising expert who has helped you to tell the stories?
Well, to give you one example, this woman named Linda, she sent me a nice email about her father, who was at the VA hospital when he was starting to lose his mental facilities, but he had one of these lucid moments, and he was recalling growing up in North Minneapolis, and a young black girl named Hilda Moses would come over after dinner and sing, do little concerts with his long-dead and beloved sister Esther. And at the end of this visit, he told his daughter, you know, she made it big in Hollywood. So she walked out of that session saying, you know, are these the rantings of a senile man? And Googled the name Hilda Moses. And boom, he was almost spot on. She did not make it big in Hollywood, but she did make it big on Broadway. She went to New York, worked for the American Negro Theater Company, but ended up the lead lady in a play called Anna Lucasa. Well, it was a big hit. It ran for 950 nights, toured London. Well, she ended up on the New York Arts Board as a cultural liaison, and Sidney Poitier, among others, credited her with opening up great roles for black actors in the 60s. So what a story. And it just reminded to me that, you know, we got to get these stories while we can.
How incidental or accidental was the creation of this history column?
Sure. You know, we started the column. We launched in early October of 2014, and almost as an afterthought.
So the Star Tribune solicited readers' ideas for future columns, and Kurt struck gold and a cultural vein.
Every week I joke with my wife, these beautiful stories from people's family histories or historical experts, they'll send me a few suggestions every week that are just fantastic.
So these folks send him great ideas every week, and some of these have been racially and otherwise diverse.
First of all, the people who send me ideas don't always just send great ideas. They send a little criticism, too. And I have a few friends who said, you know, you need more women. Enough with the white guys. You know, you need more diversity. So when we started year two of this column, I did kind of make a conscientious effort that, you know, let's try to be more diverse.
Such as this one about Minnesota's only black sheriff. He worked in Cook County, of all places.
And someone I didn't even realize had sent me an idea the other day. He was the best man in this guy's wedding, and that's why he suggested it. There was a sheriff named John Light, an African-American sheriff in Cook County, of all things, in Minnesota, which is up by Lutzen and Grand Marais up in the Arrowhead. And with a little research, I realized he's the only black sheriff Minnesota's ever had. That's, I think, 158 years of Minnesota, and I think there's 87 counties. So to think there's been one elected black sheriff, and then, I mean, that fact alone isn't enough to write a whole column about. It's kind of interesting, but his parents came to Minnesota in 1913 when the government would give away land, and if you developed your acreage and improved it within 5 years, you got basically free land. So they came up and opened a resort. They had 13 kids. He was one of the 13 kids. He had a fascinating life as a fishing guide and as a school bus driver before he started working security at the Lutzen Ski Resort. And that led to him getting deputized because it's a big county with a lot of roads, so they needed some more people. Well, he did that enough and won the respect of the people up there that when the sheriff decided to step down, he got appointed by the county board, and he held that job for 22 and a half years. So,
Kurt Brown's columns remind us that history isn't just about old or dead people. They're about people's lives, whether or not you think they belong in a history book. This is Will Wright for KFAI.